Is how it treats its women and girls.
No man is big enough for your arms.
No man in the world. No man in the world.
No man is big enough for your arms.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
We create
the smart, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school.
Buckle up, buttercups. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz. I'm live in the studio today. Donna is joining me remotely, and we've got a lot to talk about. How are you doing this morning, Donna? Let me see. Okay. I haven't had enough coffee yet, clearly. Okay, Donna, do I have you now? Maybe she stepped away for a second. So anyway, Donna and I participated in the Tampa Pride Parade this weekend, and we had a great time. We went to Ybor, and Randy and some of her friends were there, and Randy's truck got very poorly decorated because I'm not the best at it. So and Donna, if you haven't seen Donna's outfit from the parade, please do go to our Surly Voices Facebook page, because she is displayed in all her glory. Have I got you now, Donna?
Yes.
Awesome. So I was just filling everybody in on the activities of this past weekend when we were in Ybor for the Pride Parade, and complimenting your awesome outfit. While I'm talking about the Pride Parade, I want to thank Chris, the vice president of the crew of Italia, for giving us some water when we were flagging. So thank you very much for that, Chris. What did you think of the Pride Parade this year, Donna?
You know, it was fun. We were way at the back. So a lot of that rush that you get from the large crowds of people, you know, yelling out and holding out their hands for the throws, we didn't get to experience a lot of that as the tail end, literally like we were four from the last.
But yeah, we were way in the back.
Yeah, like we were, if it was 2 miles long, we were like mile 1.9.
Yeah.
And so that we lost some of the glory of the event there. But, I mean, all in all, it was, I mean, mostly what I saw more trash on the street than I saw people.
Oh, my God, so much trash, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While I love the confetti cannons, they do leave a lot of debris behind. It's supposed to be biodegradable, but you still got to look at it for a while. But, yeah, it was a fun time. I was telling Randy, I think that the organizers should do a lottery to see where people go in the lineup. It would be fun, more fun that way, I think. Because it seems to be the same groups every year. Like the cops are usually in the front, and
the cops and the politicians. I saw them queued up toward the front, and I was like, ew.
Yeah. It's like, why don't you have a lottery, mix everybody up, and then it's like, surprise. Who's coming next? Surprise.
When I walked up to Scott Street in Nuccio, the first thing that I saw was Lynn Hurtak, Kathy Castor, Chad Kroniser, and outside of.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't even know that they pay to get in. Campaign.
Oh, they probably don't.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. But anyway,
shows up is super fair. Super fair. Yeah.
It was fun, and we're looking forward to St. Pete Pride now in June 22nd. So that should be and every time we do one of these things, Surly Voices does, we get ideas for the next time. So it's like I'm getting bubble bazookas so I can blow bubbles all over the place, and bubbles don't leave any debris, and they're just as cool, if not cooler, than confetti cannons. So that's one thing that I'm looking for. Switching gears. Oh, if you guys want to call in, 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. For those of you who haven't heard our show before, Surly Voices is an intersectional feminist show, and we talk about all issues that affect women and marginalized folks. And we are non-scripted, and we are a call-in show. And we have so many awesome Surly listeners who send us emails that keep us in stitches. But we're happy to talk about things you agree with or things you don't agree with. So one of the things that happened almost immediately after the Pride Parade was Donna got on a plane to D.C. And there was a reason for that. And some of you who may be familiar with the goings-on at the Supreme Court know what I'm talking about.
We don't get it! Shut it down! We don't get it! Shut it down! We don't get it! Shut it down!
So, as you well know...
So, that was a little clip from Donna, from what Donna was doing over the past couple of days. Tuesday, specifically. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, Donna.
They're battling it out in the Supreme Court over Ms. Pristone, which is the abortion route that 63% of women at current use to terminate pregnancy. And some folks came along, Josh Hawley's wife, I think her name is Eleanor. I don't want to erase her by calling her Josh Hawley's wife. She's a serious attorney, albeit in a stance that I disagree with vehemently, and is helping to litigate or leading the litigation on this drug, mifepristone, at the Supreme Court this week, alleging that this drug causes it's dangerous. It's a dangerous drug. The problem with that is they haven't presented anyone that has serious injury, documented injury from having used the drug, and the Supreme Court right now, it looks like they are unwilling to undo the FDA's endorsement of the drug, because then that's a dangerous precedent to set. Anyone can say, Ozempic gave me a headache, and I believe this drug is dangerous. So the Supreme Court, as conservative as they are not going to probably take this path to attack abortion. They will look for other avenues. But tearing apart the FDA is not the path that they look like they're willing to take at this point.
Right. And the lawsuit, for those of you who aren't aware, was brought for the very ironically named Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. I would call them the Alliance for Hypocrisy Medicine, or brain's not firing on all cylinders quite yet, but yeah, hypocrisy is what I would call it, is because this is just one more effort by these pro-birth groups to try to take away any kind of avenue that women have for choice in America. And so I was curious. I'm like, who are these people and how do they have standing? Because one thing, and this is what Donna was talking about, one thing that you need to bring a case is a thing called standing. In other words, you have to have been, you have to have a dog in the fight. These guys don't have a dog in the fight. They're just trying to tell everybody else what to do. When I looked it up, it turns out Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine is, it's an umbrella organization that has five anti-abortion groups. And some of them claim that they're medical professionals. That remains to be seen. But it's a group out of Texas, and this is where we are in America now. After having 50 years of rights over our bodies, now you know they're slowly taking them away. Starting with overturning Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision, now they're trying to take away another avenue of choice for women. So even though the conservative judges like Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, they didn't seem to be buying the hypocrisy argument that, this could be really dangerous. And it was all woulda, shoulda, coulda. It wasn't, statistic. And this is, I think, the biggest piece of the puzzle is, okay, people, follow science and you can't go wrong. This is what happens when you inject religion into the place of science. And so it's really distressing. I thank you, Donna, and all the folks that were down there with you protesting. And which organization was it that organized the trip to D.C. or the meetup at D.C.?
Well, it was everybody. It was Planned Parenthood, National Organization of Women, with one of our Florida faves, Christine Nunez. There were various elected officials, including a couple of senators and congresspeople, Planned Parenthood, all of the usual suspects, Center for Popular Democracy, an organization that I've worked with for several years. I mean, everybody was in the street. There were thousands of people in front of SCOTUS. And 13 people from Center for Popular Democracy were arrested, and that was on NBC and CBS News as well as CNN. So, I mean, we're putting the work in, bringing attention to the issue, and the Supreme Court, I don't think, if they had four blockades around SCOTUS. So that tells me that no one is in the mood for the civil unrest that will be caused because as much as it seems pro-life versus pro-choice seem to be have the nation split in half. It really isn't that way. The majority of Americans, the overwhelming majority of Americans, support a woman's right to choose, support a childbearing person's right to choose, and there are those in this country who would have it another way, and they happen to have stacked the Supreme Court with those folks, and we're putting in the work to make sure that we don't lose vital reproductive / human rights.
Right, because women's rights are human rights. And, not shockingly, Clarence Thomas was one of the is it Alito, were the ones that were just like, making it clear that they weren't going to be falling on the side of right. But how is Clarence Thomas still in the Supreme Court? He's out on somebody's yacht like every other day. And it's like, he wasn't even at the State of the Union address, or if he was, I didn't see him. I'm like, oh, he must be on another paid vacation. So.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you again for doing the hard work that needs to be done. And this is what a lot of, you know, we didn't get here by accident. This was a long, I mean, the pro-birthers were playing the very long game, and everybody else got caught with their pants down pretty much. So give us a call and let us know what you think. 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org. And we are Surly Voices, and we are talking about the Supreme Court case about Mifepristone. They should have named it something easier to say.
Wild.
So that was one thing that I was seeing, and something that our very own Dr. Maria Cole commented on was way more cops for this than there were for the insurrection. And so it's, I mean, that talk about getting caught with your pants down. Wow. It's just horrible that you know, people who are peacefully protesting get surrounded by all these law enforcement types, and it's,
you know, I've never been anywhere, Sis. I've never been anywhere, and I've protested around this country. I've protested in Seattle and New York and Cleveland, Ohio, and Orlando, and even in Polk County, we've marched, Tampa, Atlanta. And I can tell you that I've never been in a situation where we were not surrounded by military-level police force. In Ohio, at Cleveland State University, I feel like they brought out every available unit that they had, and then they brought out State Patrol and the transit police to basically lock us in for 3 blocks. Yeah.
And I've seen that here locally. I was one of the latecomers to protesting, and that was what struck me immediately the first time I did a protest. It was like, why are all these cops here? We're just standing here holding signs, hollering at Jeff Sessions, pretty much, you know? And it's like, yeah. So it's unreal to me that there wasn't an anticipation that trouble would happen on January 6th, but here we are. Let's talk to Jack in Dover. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Liz. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Awesome. Yes, thank you for calling.
Well, and not even just for taking my call, but just to WMNF in general, for all of the education and the things that I've learned about what viability means, you know, with regards to what would be an abortion and what a human baby is when all of their organs are fully developed, and just the information that you guys provide is unparalleled. I mean, it's amazing stuff.
Well, thank you, Jack.
You're very welcome. I just wanted to add that there was something that I saw again on TV. I'm always watching PBS channels, and there was something on the Travel Channel about Israel. And it showed Jerusalem, and it showed inside the church where Calvary is, and they've got this glass box that you can look up at the mountain where Jesus was crucified, and they also have, like, this rock that was in the stone that was in front, or like the table maybe that he was laying on after they took him down from the cross. And when you talked a little bit this morning about, you know, the difference between religious people and scientific people, it just brought a mental picture of these people that they're just so drawn in based on faith, and they believe in something that you can't see, that's not tangible, it's not real, but it's very real, and it's what their faith is based on. And so I just wanted to add that. I don't know what it means. I just felt like, you know, it was important to say it. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jack.
You're welcome.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
So, and let's talk about that a little bit. I don't have a problem with anybody believing anything they want to believe, going to whatever church, whatever religion. The problem I have is when you, individual, imposes that belief on another individual. This is supposed to be a country where there's separation of church and state. We shouldn't have theocratic people coming in and trying to change all the laws, all the rights. Ireland is one of the most Catholic countries I think you can probably find. They have abortion rights. The United States does not anymore. Donna?
I don't have anything to add.
Yeah. I think Brazil as well. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable to me that all these other countries that have been way behind the curve here are now, you know, ahead of the United States. It's quite distressing. Let's talk to... go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about, before we go to the caller, about capitalism and its role in how we get behind other countries in our revolution. Okay. So one of the reasons that the United States, the roots of the United States, I was at the African American Museum of History yesterday in DC, and I'll be back there again today because you just have to have several days. If you guys are going, you have to get tickets online 30 days before your trip to DC. If not, you have to play the lottery of same day. So FYI. But anyway, when you look at the long history of capitalism, you know, ravenousness and what it's done to people, not just black people, to most Americans in these United States, you'll find that free or cheap labor is the name of the game.
Yeah.
Right. And so while we're not seeking to solve poverty, because that would impact unhinged capitalism, late stage capitalism that we're experiencing, I feel like not addressing education, housing, transportation, not looking to facilitate the low wage workers that you so desperately do everything possible to obtain and enslave. This country goes out of its way to make sure that it has a ready supply of people that can be forced to do any type of labor for the lowest possible abusive wage that one can accept. We fight wage equality, I believe, and maybe some of you will think it's a stretch, call me and tell me, that our attempt to... Our summary dismissal of poverty and our indictment of impoverished people as a moral failing, coupled with our lack of ability to allow women to self-determine in reproduction, is a natural outgrowth of a country that doesn't want to become a modern country that supports modern human rights and seeks to support people with wages and a quality of life, a basic quality of life that everyone deserves. And this is a part of it.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Because that's what it all boils down to is why all this turmoil and taking the rights away. The patriarchy, the white men at the top of the pyramid are terrified that they're going to get overrun by the rest of us. And so,
yeah, this is all about faith.
Yeah, it's not about God. It's not about life. It's about, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my position of power and privilege, and I don't like that, and I'm going to stop that.
Yeah, y'all not having enough babies for us for the machine.
Right. Because, the millennials, that's one thing there's a lot of hand-wringing about is the millennials aren't having babies, you know? And so they're going to fix that for us.
There you go.
Okay, so let's talk to Javon in Seminole Heights. Hi, Javon.
Good morning. One, I just wanted, you know, give flowers to y'all for covering this and everything that was just said about the connection with capitalism and how that's driving everything that's going on is 100% real. With the Mifflin Pristone, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, you know, the Supreme Court is trying to blur the lines between what should be and what should not be regulated. These are medical decisions,
mm-hmm.
and there's no other medication or medical device or medical procedure that's been considered in the same way, and there are many that have very serious complications that are, you know, people are having terrible side effects, lives are being lost. If this was about protecting American citizens from harm because of a medical procedure, then, you know, why not look at any number of medications that have had, you know, those same ill effects? But it's not. This is about controlling women and ensuring that that there is always some state power or authority controlling the bodies and lives of women. To connect that to the capitalist agenda, the state of Florida just reduced reduced protections for child labor. And I can guarantee you it's not Ron DeSantis' kids who are going to be the ones who are going to be working, you know, 40 hours a week or 30 hours a week as their teenagers. You know, they're going to be the kids of primarily poor black and brown people who are now having to take on that work. You know, the poor public transit systems keep people trapped and locked in and not able to access better jobs or educational opportunities. Like, all of these things, it sounds like a conspiracy, but it's real. You know,
and, yes.
And I'm not talking about lizard people controlling the government. I'm talking about specific decisions that have been made to control people, where they live, where they work, and even at this point, when they can or cannot have children. And I think we all need to be just not just more tuned in, but taking some real action. Get engaged with a group that's doing some work in the community. Florida Rising, Florida for All. If you hear about somebody that you like as an electoral official or a candidate, you know, don't just, you know, vote for them. Talk to other people. Volunteer for their campaign. Like, this, we have to be more engaged now because the other side is super engaged. And they are driving people based on an existential fear. And they are showing up in ways that are having real consequences. But they're showing up by a thread.
Yes. You
know, so I think when we get active and we get engaged, we can change things for the better. And now is the time when we have to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. I co-sign everything you said 100%, Javon. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so you're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. We're talking about the Supreme Court case with the Mill. For Restone, gosh, it's just a tongue twister. But anyway, everybody probably knows what I'm talking about by now. So you can give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. And so let's see, I've got some emails. Jiminy has sent a rather long essay that I would love to read, but I don't know if I could get through it in 30 minutes. But Jiminy, I thank you for it. Please let me know if I can publish this to the Surly Voices Facebook page, and then that way everybody can see it and read it to themselves. Let's see. David says, I've noticed that Ron, Meatball Ron, has been very busy crisscrossing the state doing press conferences as if he's still running for president. What's up with that? And who's paying for these campaign/non-campaign appearances? He keeps switching up the podium sign, too. I would like to see someone talented in Photoshop. Oh, change up the podium sign with funny slogans like, Meatball Ron is desperate for attention. Why is this jerk still campaigning? I need a personality transplant. Stat, David. So, all right, Facebook folks, you are not Facebook, Photoshop folks. Now you have your charge. Go and find out one of these podiums and decorate it up with your best DeSantis jabs. I think DeSantis is aiming for, he hasn't given up that Trump will actually be the president again. So he's now going around campaigning to create some groundswell of support amongst Trump supporters so that he can get at least, at the very least, a cabinet appointment. What do you think, Donna?
I mean, yeah, the Florida's a dead end for him. I mean, he's not a popular governor. And I think that he started to lose his, he started to lose steam when he went after Disney. You know, it was a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Sadly, the book bans didn't do it. The attack on the queer community didn't do it. It was really when he went after Disney that the rest of the country observed outside of the normal circles of people who are concerned about attacks on queer rights and attacks on immigrants. Those people inside the state were concerned, but nationally, I don't feel that he rose to acclaim or notoriety, I should say, until he went after Disney. And I think that something came down yesterday, speaking of that, that says that going forward, Disney will not have as much power. The headline was a more humble mouth. So I guess, you know,
it's like there's that music group called Modest Mouse. So.
Yeah, get your street cred where you can get it. Right, you showed the mouth what you were all about, right? So, gangsta for Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, that's when I think of gangster rock. Ron DeSantis didn't even come to the top 40. So.
Right. But can I say something, though? I just want to say, I got to say this. When I want to forget about him, like I don't want to make sure that people like Jessica that we had on a couple weeks ago, our school board maven, who is out here fighting against book bans and working diligently to make our school districts better, because it definitely needs to be better. Mm-hmm. And that's an understatement. A lot of kids are going to lose their literal lives because they're getting a bad education from a school district that denies that they're giving the vast majority of kids in the district a bad education. We have to say that out loud, because if we can't define the problem, we can't solve it. Having said that, I'd like to forget, outside of very important issues like that, attacks on the gay community, black community, on teaching black history in school. There's now attacks on DEI. I'm sure he'll jump into that and say something about that at some point. But as far as continuing to say his name, knowing that he is outgoing and has no future outside of a Trump cabinet position, and he's on the short list for VP. We'll see how that goes. But I think that Trump is going to want someone who's more of a sycophant, to be
to
in
Trump.
That type of role.
Yeah.
There won't be a Nikki Haley or a DeSantis that tried to seriously take him on, sliding into that role. I can't see it. I mean, it's possible. It'd be possible, Trump. You just never know.
No, I agree with you. It's like, no. You're not with me. You're not, you know. If you've gone against me, you're not with me. Yeah.
So where I was going with a caller earlier called in, and he was talking about building a bench and different organizations. And I've been in Tampa. I've been back in Florida now from New York City for going on 9 years. And what I can tell you, maybe 10. Oh my goodness. I can tell you that we're looking to the same group of people that have been on watch. Right. These same groups, Florida Rising, these same groups have been on watch. New Florida Majority. They were on watch as we lost Florida.
Yeah.
And there's no way in the world that if I had a situation, air quote, under control, and while I was the chief of anything or the leader of anything or, you know, the sole name or one of the few names on the shingle, that thing went belly up. Nobody would call me back and say, hey, can you come and fix the thing that you watched go into the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so this is a clarion call for organizations that are not currently receiving large amounts of money for voter registration and door-to-door campaigns and other ways that we try to get people to be active in the electorate, for those groups to be, you know, punch above your weight. Don't assume that because this large group where whose name is everywhere that has offices throughout the state, as we continue to give these people more money, we continue to sink deeper into the mire. I would suggest that organizations that are have integrity in the way they spend money, that don't hire their families, that aren't NEPO orgs, mm-hmm. that you just hire everyone's family and let them run these people's millions into the ground. We've got that going on in Florida. I mean, it's not just Florida, it's everywhere. But because we've lost so horribly and because there have been such serious repercussions that that still have reverb, and these people are still seeking to gut human rights in our state, these smaller organizations that are solvent and but struggling and that are working with integrity and that are serious about the mission and not necessarily being on Time Magazine, those people need to step up and start asking for the Mackenzie Scott money. They need to start asking for the Ben and Jerry's money. They need to start asking for these larger grants from organizations. When Everybody Votes or America Votes says, hey, we've got $100 million for this election cycle, they need to be asking for those dollars, because where those dollars are going now, not only are they not moving us forward, they're allowing us to continue to lose.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk over that caller and say, that's not where we want national money to go anymore, because it's not working, right? Because you can't just be an executive in these roles. We need actual organizers. All the organizers that I see in Florida, and I'll stop here, are in the streets.
Yeah.
Those people are organizers. So they bring folks into the room. These small cliques and these county DECs and progressive coalitions, they ain't it. They don't need any more money. They need to stop trying to organize. They need to get out of the way.
Right.
We can take this state back, because if we don't do it now, we're going to lose Florida for a couple generations.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk to Margo in Tarpon Springs. Hi, Margo.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on, it was interesting that you said Ireland has access to abortion and they're the largest Catholic population.
I said
so
they're...
It doesn't have anything to do with your religion and what you believe, because if it did, you'd be loving and kind and serving and doing those things. But people think that abortion is just applies to women, is just that, but it's not true. I was trying to get Ozempic, and my insurance company said no. I couldn't have the medication. So I had a friend that had stomach cancer, and her doctor prescribed a non-FDA-approved medication, and she couldn't receive it, which could have saved her life. So they're already in our medical. It's not just abortion. If your insurance company says you can't get this med, you're just out of luck. And so you think it's just abortion, but it's not. They're already in our medical care. And that's dangerous because, you know, we need universal health care. Because if we had universal health care, maybe COVID wouldn't have spread and people would not have died, as many as they have died. So we have to be vigilant, right? Like, we've got to keep fighting for our rights.
Right. Well, and yeah.
And be conscious. And thank you for the show.
Oh, absolutely, Margo.
Bringing it out and speaking truth.
Yeah.
To the power.
The universal health care is something I talk about all the time, because it would solve so many of the problems that we have in this country. But the competitor to that is capitalism. And in America, capitalism always wins. So, yeah. Now, as far as the government being in our business, the FDA's purpose is to make sure that people aren't just putting random meds out on the street that are not tested, not proved. So there is, I think, an oversight role that we do need for to make sure that our medications are safe. But yeah, I'm with you 100%. Universal health care, we all need to have the right to medical care instead of the privilege of paying insurance.
That's true. But thank you for your taking the time.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling, Margo. All right.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. So, yeah. And I know you're on the universal health care bus, Donna, yeah?
Of course I am. Let me say this. Let's go back a little bit because, you know, as per usual, you know, we're just taking the path as it, you know, unfolds before us.
But that's the beauty of it. It's like, oh, what next?
It really is. It really is because we rest amongst a lot of very structured shows. And so this is where you get to, like, let your mind just kind of, like, be groovy.
Yeah.
So let me say this about attending the event. I was not planning on. I had opened up the event on Monday night, came straight from the airport to this church that's right behind the Supreme Court. And everyone, the Women's March people, the now women, the church was filled with women who were interested in the civil disobedience action. And the crowd was overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly middle-aged, with lots of gray hair in the room. Mm-hmm. So most of these women have either had children or will not be having any more children. And that's because of money, time, education. A lot of these women flew in. And so for the obvious reason, the crowd trended older, whiter, and more educated.
Mm-hmm.
But in that room, there were women who, I call them pearl clutchers. These are people who see brown skin of any type, right? It could be Arab or
right.
Latin or black. Out of the corner of their eye, and they draw their belongings closer to them.
Yeah.
The room was filled with people like that.
These oh my
are
God.
The light and polite race. No, they're everywhere. They're
no,
everywhere.
I know they are because I've seen them do it before. So it's like, Seriously?
Yeah. I straightened my hair because I don't wear my hair straight anymore. I wear it in a protective hairstyle. You guys look it up. Not doing it. and since I wear braids, and the long braids, it makes people think I'm younger than I am until they get close up. And it also makes them, because of the way we cast in Hollywood, hairstyles like mine. Well, Michelle Obama started wearing them recently, so you're seeing the Divine Nine set. These are the bourgeoisie black folk are wearing them now to work. But I've been wearing them to work for about 10 years, maybe longer. And that hairstyle puts people in the mind brought to you by Hollywood typecasting of someone who is poor. And of course, though we equate poverty with crime, we correlate that reflexively in our culture. And so as looking like a younger woman with long braids, I am not received as warmly as when I look like a middle-aged lady with straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally surrounded by women for 3 days who did not warmly welcome me unless they noticed my bands off our bodies green scarf. At one point, during the protest, I left SCOTUS and went to the church, back to this church, and I went into the basement to use the bathroom. Well, I left my backpack that had the green scarf on it upstairs. So someone came into the bathroom and stood there. This is a younger woman.
Oh, my
until
God.
I came out of the bathroom to see who I was. So I don't think that white people can accept or care about the way black women are treated in these spaces. Now, I decided after that night that because of that, I wasn't going to be leading any chants during the protest, so that I'd not raise my hand and volunteer to protest the lead chant at the blockade that I was assigned to. So the next day, this woman comes over and she's like, if you guys are not doing anything, and moved us to hold these banners. Now, I was going to stay in the cut. You see all these pictures on my Facebook page of me, like, right in the front of the APLs and Reuters. Like, I'm out there. They put me out there. And I was holding this banner, and then, of course, we started to lead the chants. I went and got the black women that were in that blockade and brought them there. That's why those pictures looked like that.
Ah, right? Okay. Now it all makes sense. Right. Yes, okay.
There you go. Yep. There you go. So the look was that our organization has all of these black women that are leading this movement at SCOTUS, which is why, instead of Planned Parenthood with their sea of pink, you saw the green scarf that was Center for Popular Democracy, because we were positioned to look like we were a diverse organization, and it stood out and was newsworthy because that is not the situation as it stands in reality.
Wow. Dang. You're like a master publicist now.
You know, but I gave them what they flew me up there for.
Right.
Right. And maybe those images will inspire black women to realize that this is their fight. Because when we are, because of our challenges, social and economic challenges in this society, when we can't access reproductive choice, the consequences bear even harder on us.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and the photo, I'm going to take the photo that was published in the AP yesterday and put it on our Facebook page, because it is absolutely gorgeous. It's Donna in all her glory, and man, I didn't realize all the machinations that went through getting that shot together. But yeah, if you watch the video that I played a clip of earlier, then you'll see what Donna's talking about. It's like a group of black women, like maybe 5, 6, and then all these white people just like kind of standing around, kind of amused. Some are like clapping, or some are hollering too. But it's like it's an entirely different energy. And so yeah, I can see that there was pearl clutchers in that in that company.
Of course, and I felt like we were providing a service, right? I didn't feel like I was leading a protest. I felt like we were providing a service. Because when it was time for us to move, because the plan was to take an arrest, right? A civil arrest. When it was time for us to move, there weren't people who looked like me calling those shots. When it was time for us to change how we were doing it, let's not have any more chance. Let's move to stories, because they could see that the women there were not into the chanting. So let's tell stories. So then we began to pass the mic, and that's when they became more engaged. But it was a white woman who made that, who called that shot. So look on the AP like black women were leading and in charge. But in reality, we were simply the white women's handmaidens.
Because, white women are white women, you know, and that's what they do.
Oh, yes, I know how to do this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
These are good people. Like, these are good women. These women are not, I don't feel I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong by speaking my truth. Because the truth is, these organizations are run by white women.
Right.
And the agenda is set by white women. And the decisions about how to execute the organizing plans are decided by white women.
Yeah. And believe it or not, white women don't always know the best way to do things.
Well, it was a white woman that could have taken her lead from the court.
Right.
That would have helped us here. And that's one of our heroes. You know, I loved her. I thought she was amazing, but she was not without stain, right? She had as a black woman, I had some concerns about our Ruth, but it would have simply been easy to just, during the safe Obama era, to just step aside.
Right?
Could have done this differently. And nobody called that into accountability and said, hey, you know, this is part of why we're in the situation that we're in.
Right. All right,
because we can't do women.
Yeah, exactly. We got George in Davenport on the line. Hi, George.
How you doing today? I appreciate your show and everything you do at WMF. I've been a long-time listener since 1981.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, George.
Yeah, I have a comment.
I know it's kind of like a cliche, but, you know, they always want to save the fetus. Well, have you ever heard that saying, save the fetus but hate the child? Because that's what it seems like they're planning on doing.
You know, of course.
They want to give, yeah, they want to save the fetus, which they call a child. You know, now embryo's a child. Well,
right.
You know, that's ludicrous.
Yeah.
But also for the fact about taking medication away from women, then, hey, if you're going to take medication from women, then take away Viagra.
Ah, good one, George.
Take away Viagra because you can get it on the mail. You can get it anywhere. Your doctor prescribed it. Hey, if you got a, you know, if you got an erectile dysfunction, guess what? That's your problem.
That's too bad. Yes, we cannot help you.
Hey, it's you know, and also a lot of people don't understand that Congress and the Senate, well, the Senate and the House, they get health care for life.
Yeah,
and their families. Plus, they get a pension when they leave. They can leave for one term and they get all that. So what about the rest of the United States who can't afford an abortion or health care for themselves or for anybody, for their families or whatever, but they get it for free? Why don't you pass it on? You know, we are paying the bill, you know?
Right.
So start working for your constituents and stop working for big corporations. But we all know how the American system goes. Ever since, you know, Citizens United has been implemented, you see how corrupt the elections have become.
Right.
You know? So until they do that, and unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime because all these, you know, conservative justices on the Supreme Court, they're not going to do it because their corporations don't want them to do it.
Right. Capitalism, once again.
Yeah, capitalism. But the thing is, go after socialism. Hey, sorry, I hate to say it. There's socialist companies in countries in Europe. They get free medical, free health care, free education. And I don't see those people suffering.
No.
They're having a great time. You know,
living life,
you know, extra amount of days vacation and everything. So just take an example.
Right.
You know, and I really appreciate what you ladies do and everybody on the staff. Hey, you're my lifeline.
Thanks so much for calling, George.
Thank you. You enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your weekend.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. Let's see. I've got a bunch of emails here. Dave from Sarasota says, here, all right, Justice Thomas taking bribes. All right, during the State of the Union, did you see that George Santos was there? Always check your voting status regularly. The GOP will pull out all the stops to win. Then, let's see, this is from Leah. Trump released this Bible with lines from the Declaration of Independence interspersed with the Bible verses, just blatant disregard for our founding father's vision of freedom and or from religion. And then John says, religion corrupts government and government corrupts religion. The white nationalist evangelical religion is a prime example of this. In the name of Christianity, they seek to impose their prejudicial beliefs on everyone. They used to be a religion. Now they are a political movement that uses a false understanding of Christianity to gain power. Let's see what else. I think that Publix should create a Meatball Ron Pub sub. Bubba, you always make me laugh. It will whine when you bite into it. Oh, let's see. This is from Wendy. I listened to the arguments yesterday on Sean's show, and although I don't know her name, I was really impressed with the way she handled herself. She was a calm, direct, and always on point. Not surprised. It seems at this point she will get a favorable decision. Do you know who she was? Another great show, ladies. Wendy. P.S. Still can get all the Viagra you want in the mail. Yep. Just like George said. Yes, thank you, Wendy. Then we have from Dre. Hi, Surleys. For over 100 years, they have corrupted the quality of healthcare institutions to maintain their campaign promises. How does that work? They use the same spin maneuvers on the border. The license to kill law is one of the many iterations. It was employed here for thinning herds, workforces, legitimate prisoners, and their children. They're using state and federal lawsuits to control this country. We need more lawsuits from the left, the kind that kneecap those cronies. I find it interesting that the multinational NIMBYs here in Florida have intersectional say, or international say in Tallahassee and Washington. That, as my lifelong nightmares of specters of my people, antagonize my life choices beneath these streets. All right, so that brings us to the end of today's show. Sorry that I didn't get to everybody's emails, but hopefully we will get to them next time on Surly Voices on W.